I thank you that only you, Jesus, can meet our needs right now. Only you can bring comfort, Jesus. Only you can bring hope and healing where there is no hope. Only you can bring peace to our situations, Lord, if we just let you. So, Father, I bless you. I praise you. We praise you, O God. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy, for your grace, for hope that's found in you, Holy Spirit. Praise you, Lord. May I be so sensitive to your words, Lord, and minister in the power of the Holy Spirit. We praise you for this, Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name that's above every name. Amen. Be seated real quietly, please. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I never like to go back and rewind episodes that have happened in my life, but I believe the Lord wants me tonight to help some of you. To help some of you. But I can tell you this, my God is like, he's incredible. If you allow him to be incredible in your life. He is second to none. He is remarkable. But he can't be locked up in a box. I'm just pacing myself, see what the Holy Spirit allows me to say tonight. About a month ago, I experienced a real hard week, all in one week. I didn't even tell my wife this. I had a terrible, terrible, terrible ear infection. I never even told her that. Terrible ear infection. Along with the doctor telling me, basically, Mr. Betancourt, you're going to die. There's not a medication made that can keep you from getting any better. He said, you can prolong your life, but in his own terminology, you're going to die. Your kidneys are failing. You're going to die. That's what he told me. Along with losing about 80% of my sight again. All in 1 week now. Then they told me I passed a kidney stone. If that wasn't enough, then I had a bad gallbladder that I had to have taken out. All in 1 week. I was in a lot of pain one day at the dinner table where I just felt like that's it. You know, I'm ready to go home and visit my mom and my sister, home which is heaven because they're both deceased and with Jesus. I was in so much pain that I couldn't, it was unbearable. You know what happens when you back a pit bull up in the corner? He gets real what? He gets real defensive, ready to fight. And that's just what I did. First of all, the ear infection is completely gone. Second of all, the pain in my gallbladder does not exist anymore. Third of all, the pain in my kidneys does not exist anymore. Fourth of all, I have sight again in my eyes. But I could have given up. Instead, I checked my heart. I checked my heart because I said to myself, I said, Lord, I haven't done enough for you yet. I haven't done enough for the kingdom. And I checked my heart to see if I had any unforgiveness in my heart. And there was some there. And that's what I attribute to all this junk in my life getting healed. Praying countless hours in the spirit, worshiping God like I never had. Not because I was scared. I am not scared to die. And I'm not going to at all. I was not scared to die. I was upset because I never left, in my opinion, a legacy of the true love of God behind in my life. In my opinion, I never left a legacy of what love should have been behind. So I decided to fight and fight. And I have never felt this good physically like I have in my whole entire life. My diet has gotten better, but my relationship with Jesus Christ has gone to another level. You imagine being taught all that in 1 week. You got one or two things you can do. You can receive that report, ponder it, and die. Or you can experience the power of God. The first thing I had to do was I had to let any ought or unforgiveness go in my life. And I checked my heart. I said, Lord, see, God's word works. It doesn't work for, there's only two reasons that will keep God's word from not working. One is unforgiveness. Two is you just not spending time with Jesus Christ. So I checked my heart and there was areas of unforgiveness there, and I had to go before my God and say, Lord, forgive me towards hatred that I had in my heart. And I began to feel better slowly but surely. And it's still a fight. It's still a fight. Listen, I'm way too young and way too sexy, according to my wife, to die. So I had to fight. And I told nobody, you really know, nobody knows here, Sunday morning crowd, I just had to tell you to give you a hope, because some of you are in a place where there is no hope in your life right now. There's a place where all you got left is Jesus. But you got to incorporate him. Check your heart, man, if you find yourself in the same place month in and month out, week in and week out. Check your heart. You know what got us into God's kingdom was what? Forgiveness of our sins. So we must learn to forgive people of their sins. Jesus said in its remarkable words, and I'm not going to keep you long, I'm going to pray for some of you. Well, there's just one I'm going to lay. If you let me tonight under the anointing put my hands on you, I promise you, there'll be a grace given over to you where you'll want to continue and you'll want to fight. I can promise you that. I can promise you that by the Lord. The man on the mountain, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, Jesus was on a mountain speaking to his disciples, one of the first sermons ever recorded in the New Testament. See, the church, the modern day church, the corporate body of church nowadays, all they want to do is talk. You know what Jesus is looking for? You know what he's looking for? Disciples. He's looking for men and women of God that are disciplined followers and that are head over heels in love with him. Jesus said, blessed are the meek. Teaching. On a mountain, I call him the man on the mountain. He teaches. He said, blessed are the meek or humble. He said, blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are they who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. This is the first lesson that Jesus gave those that wanted to follow him. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who suffer persecution for the kingdom of heaven's sake. our heart's desire should be to be head over heels in love with the man that delivered the perfect sermon. To be so in love with this man named Jesus Christ, where our heart, a fruit of our heart being for him, is a fruit of wanting to love you like nothing more on the face of this earth. And I found my place in the last month, the last 3 weeks, where all I really want to do, man, is please him from A to Z by how I treat my brothers and my sisters. I want to be, when I'm done in my life in another 30 or 40 years from now, I want him to look at me eyeball to eyeball and said, good job, Homer. I want my heart to so be after Jesus that he's all that matters. The first sermon that he taught somebody, he said, blessed are the meek. According to Proverbs, you know the number one thing that's detestable to God? It's amazing how preachers nowadays, they want to come down hard on homosexuality, and we know it's wrong. We know that. That's not, we want to come down hard on those that fornicate and those that commit adultery, which is wrong. We know that sin. And you know my doctrine. You know my pastor's doctrine is that's sin. There's no if and buts about it. And I'm sorry if you get offended by it, but that's God's word. But you know the number one thing that's detested in the eyes of God and according to the Old Testament? You know what? You know what the writer put? Amazingly, it wasn't the homosexual. Amazingly, it wasn't the fornicator. Amazingly, it wasn't the drunkard. Amazingly, it wasn't the adulterer. He said, pride. Isn't it amazing that the first thing that Jesus taught his disciples are, blessed are the meek, which is the opposite of what? Pride. He's telling me and you, the man on the mountain, perfection, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is standing here today, and he's telling me and you, so you want to be my disciple, he said? He said, blessed are the meek. A meek person can be what? He can be taught. My heart's cry right now with more than ever, is I want to entertain Jesus Christ. I want to so love him, well, being rude or offensive to you will never even be a thought to me because I'm so in love with the Creator. But he taught me and you, he said, blessed are the meek. See, too many people, I've judged those that I esteem powerful men or women of God. And those that are powerful men or women of God that I know and that I believe in, they say very little. But then there's some that say so much. Women and men of God that I know that are powerful and live holy, barely seldom say much. But then those that I know that live a little bit promiscuous, they say a lot. God doesn't need advertisement. I mean, it's good to talk about God out of your holy place that you live in him, of course. But I hear so much about God. The Father, see, the church is content. The church is content with talking about God with dirty hands. We're content with going on Facebook and preaching with dirty hands. You know, there's a place in God that can be found, men, where you never ever have to make a mistake. And you know what I'm talking about. There's a place in God, young ladies, where you never ever have to mess up. But most, and by the way, I've deleted my Facebook completely a month ago. I don't even partake of it because I get so mad seeing what's written about God on Facebook that I get too mad. So I just completely deleted it. In other words, My 600 or 700 friends, I can't get to it no more because I deleted everything about a month ago. The church, we're so used to talking about Jesus with our hands dirty. You know, when you talk about Jesus or when you're given an impression on Facebook that you got it going on with Jesus, you know what you develop? You develop an audience. And that audience sort of looks up to you. If you live a life that's perverted and presenting the gospel, that's the worst thing that you can do, man. There's a place, man, where we never, ever, listen to me, men, young man, I'm talking to you specifically. There's a place in God, trust me, that we can find, that you can find, where there are no slip-ups. There's a place in God, young men, where a craving and a lust for another young lady, it can go away. Listen to me. I promise you, there's a place that you can find in Him where the thought leaves you. There's a place, young ladies, where you can preserve yourself and wait for that man that will respect you and love you for the queen that you are. You might not think that place exists. You know why? Because you're yet to be intimate with the Redeemer. I never knew I could love people this much like I have the last month. I didn't know this place existed till I searched my heart. I said, Lord, I know your word works, Lord, but I checked my heart. I checked my heart, and there was stuff in there. And ever since I let that stuff go, I couldn't even sit up, man. Went to the doctor Friday, and they said, there's nothing wrong with your gallbladder. They told me I had to come out 3 weeks ago. The doctor looked at me, and I looked at him. He looked at me, shook his head. He said, Mr. Betancourt, real nice doctor. I just want to save what you got. I want to save what little eyesight you got. The other doctor said, Mr. Betancourt, there's not a pill that can help you. He said, I would lie to you if I said there's a pill, if there's medicine that's made that can help you. I didn't tell my pastor this. He said, all you can do is prolong your life. Let me tell you something. I am a son of the kingdom. In the kingdom of God, there are no blind eyes. In the kingdom of God, there are no bad hearts. There are no bad kidneys. And if I am a son of the kingdom and a joint heir with Jesus Christ, then that is my heritage, man. That is my inheritance. So what do? I would say for hours and worship God for all that's mine. But this time I did it with a clean, clean heart. See, because when I go home 30 or 40 years from now, I want to know that I did all that I could do to fall in love with the man on the mountain. See, that's the key to this. I was mistaken somewhat. I love God's word. That's the strongest thing that I have in me, is to read the word for hours. I can do that. But I must fall in love with the one whom the word talks about. And I would begin to worship him and just to praise him and to thank him. And a compassion for you began to come up inside of me. A new desire for people began to rise up inside of me that should have been there 20 years ago. But this man on the mountain, his name is Jesus Christ, telling me and you today, blessed are the humble. Blessed are the merciful. Talking to me, you, blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those that are persecuted for righteousness' sake. He went on to say in chapter 7, he said, who is the wise man that built his house upon the rock? The Christian that's wise in the eyes of Jesus Christ is one that hears his sayings and incorporates his sayings. You know what he says about a man or woman that hears the sayings of Christ and incorporates and does them? Do you know what he says about that man or woman? He said, you are a wise man or a wise woman because you built your house upon the rock. Do you know what the rock is? His sayings. You heard them, and no matter what came to you, you did them. Do you know what he says about that man or woman that keeps his sayings? He said, you'll be like a house built on a rock. When the rain comes, when the wind comes, it won't even shake the foundations of the house. If we so fall in love with that man on the mountain that said, blessed are the meek, when we incorporate, when we hear his sayings, when we apply them and we hold them on dear to our heart and we walk forward with our heads held high and we do what the Bible asks us to do or the inward witness, he said, you can't be moved. Kidney infection, you can't be moved. Heart infection, you can't be moved. Eye infection, you can't be moved. Why? Because you're so in love with the man on the mountain that gave me and you the perfect direction on how to live our lives. My friends, there is hope. No. There's more than hope. He far exceeds hope. There is victory. There is absolute 100% victory in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. There is victory. How can I fall? How can I fail when I serve a God that can walk on water, man? Hope. He far exceeds hope. That man on the mountain is giving you the words and the remedy to get yourself healed, man. See, people take what I say and they twist it. I'm not saying we can't talk about God when we got issues in our life. I'm saying be quiet about God when you got issues in your life and you're not doing nothing about them. There's a difference. There's a big difference. Over 90% of the church, in my opinion, will live their life as Christians and never really ever make an effect in the kingdom of God. My friends, I don't want to live like that, my friends. If that's going to be me, then I'd rather go home. I would rather go home. I would rather stop breathing right now and just go home. I mean that with all my heart. But I am so called to love that man on the mountain. And as I fall in love with him through intimacy, through worship, I'm telling you, man, keeping his sayings is the easiest thing in the world. I want to feel his heartbeat. I want to feel the breath from his nostrils. I want to feel what John felt in the book of John as he leaned up in the bosom of Jesus. Me preaching is nothing to me. Now, guys have come to our church and got mad because they have not been allowed to preach. Look, man, if my pastor says it's okay, you can preach all you want to. When my pastor leaves, he asked me to preach. That's fine. I'll do it out of subjection to him, but that don't make me, man. I've never, ever, ever, ever one time been offended because I haven't preached or have preached. That's the farthest thing from me. But now there's something working in me that has never worked in me before that I can't wait for my next experience with Jesus Christ. I want to so fall in love with him where nothing in the world bothers me. I want to be so in love with Jesus that I can't wait to see you again, to give you a hug and to pray for you and to give you this hope that we have about that man on the mountain. Listen, my friends, there's no doubt in my mind, had I given in to that report in the natural, that by now I probably would have gone home. That was a lot to hear all at once.
Mr. Betancourt.
Yes?
There's not a pill alive or medicine that can help your situation. You can just prolong your life and that's it.
Doctor, you're being nice. Trying to tell me I'm going to die?
Well, yes, but that's not going to die. It's going to be a very painful death. That's what he told me. It's going to be a very painful, slow death. Kidney disease, it's nothing to mess around with. Thank you very much, sir. That'll be $10,000, Mr. Ben. Okay, thank you. Here's my insurance. But there's a confidence in me right now. There's a confidence in me, a godly confidence, because I'm beginning to be intimate with the Redeemer. That I just know that I know that I know that I know that I'm not gonna win, but that I've already won. See, get that, I'm gonna win. Somebody told me today with good intentions, and they came up to me with sincerity, you know you're gonna win. You know you're gonna win. Yes, thank you, brother, but I've already won. See, he's already done what everybody thinks I'm asking him to do. Him being Jesus, it's already done. My commander in chief, King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, has borne my infirmity. And though this was a trial, not from God, see, Satan backed this pit bull up in a corner. Satan backed up this Mexican pit bull in a corner. And I came out blazing, baby. I came out blazing. And I'm telling you tonight, there's no magic formula to this. Just a resolve to know Jesus. I didn't go in there in my closet like I did. Honestly, before God, I will bow my knee to you right now. I didn't go into my closet and worship because I was scared. I promise you I did not. Now, nobody wants to die. Well, no, of course nobody wants to die. Especially with a beautiful wife and a whole bunch of life insurance. I don't want to leave my money to nobody. Who wants to die? Leave my insurance. Nobody's going to touch my wife. I'll come back from the dead and done shoot somebody, man. Who wants to die? But I didn't go into my closet because I was scared to die. I went into my closet, Pastor Bronk, because I was heartbroken. Because my heart was broken that I had not left my mark of love in this world. And I had not left my mark in this world because I had yet to fall head over heels in love with Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God. And I'm here today, my friends, to tell you that all that you know to do right, all that Jesus asks you to do right, sometimes it seems like an impossible task. But if you learn to fall in love with the one asking you to do right, doing right will be easy. Catch that now. When we learn to be intimate with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, doing what's right will get easy because you're so in love with the one asking you to do right. Walking holy with your hands clean, it gets easier and easier. The man on the mountain today, he's teaching me and you not to be Facebook preachers. He said, lesson number one to you, blessed are the meek, blessed are the humble. Blessed are those that are pure in heart. He doesn't want preachers. He doesn't want praise and worship leaders that have dirty hands, Pastor Brock. There's too many of them that have dirty hands that don't care about themselves having dirty hands and still want to go on leading congregations in worship. He wants our hands clean. He wants preachers clean. Don't be content. Don't be content with occasionally slipping up and making a repentance prayer or whatever it is 2 weeks later, and be content and slipping up again in 2 weeks and walking good for 2 weeks and slipping up again. No, we don't have to live our lives like that. We don't ever, 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 never, ever have to slip up again. If you encounter the true love of God, which is knowing Jesus Christ in a personal, personal manner. I told my pastor the other day, I've been married for 20-something years. We'll leave it at that. So she don't know if I know the correct years or not. Oh, 20-something years. And this is something that it's not even anything to brag about. It shouldn't be nothing to brag about. It should be the norm. As soon as a man puts a ring on his wife and her the ring on him, this should be the norm. I said, you know, I've been married for 20-something years, Pastor Bronk. I've never had sex with another woman but my wife. But nowadays, that's something to brag about. Because nobody's faithful anymore. That should never even be brought up. Because that's expected when you say yes to your wife or you say yes to your husband. Jesus Christ, the man on the mountain, is telling you today, if you seek his kingdom first and his righteousness, if you seek that first, you will be a person that he calls wise. You will be like a person that built his house upon a godly foundation. And when you build that house on that godly foundation, no matter what trial comes, no matter what tribulations come, it doesn't matter. You, my friend, will stand strong at attention and you'll laugh at the storm. If you build your house on the rock. If you hear those marvelous sayings from the man on the mountain, if you hear them and you stand attention to them and you worship the King of Kings and you thank him, Lord, this has been my prayer lately and I'm about done. I said, Lord, I am a son of the kingdom. You've called me to be a disciple. A disciple is one that loves you more than himself, than his own agendas, than his own. A disciple wants to fall so head over heels in love with Christ. That's what he needs, men or women of God that walk with clean hands, with integrity, that walk with righteousness, that walk with a heart that's so hungry for him. Unfortunately, the church in general has too many people that are content with quoting scripture from their intellect. And unfortunately, the church is used to being entertained by preachers that can present a good emotional gospel. And that's good enough for them. The creator of the universe has a word for you today. He is far from hope. He is absolutely 100%. Victory. If you entertain him, if you delight yourself in him, listen to me, you cannot lose. There is nothing on the face of this earth that can keep you down. Nothing. 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 Nothing can keep you down if you entertain that man on the mountain. I promise you, you will win. You win. Because he's won. Jesus Christ won. He paved the way for me to walk into the kingdom of heaven. We are sons of the kingdom. The things that we go through here on earth, they don't exist in God's kingdom. And we are part inheritors of God's kingdom. More than ever, body of Christ. No, let me rephrase that. As he's been crying out for 2,000 years, It's our time. Yesterday was our time. Yesterday was our time. Not today, yesterday. This place exists if you want it to exist. I would ask you tonight to go home tonight. If you've seen this, you're stuck in a rut, check your heart first for aught. One of the most respected men in the world that I know, I asked him one time, and I'm done in 5 minutes for real. I asked him, man, Pastor Dave, you look great. Which is my mentor, my pastor's mentor. He's our father in the spirit. And I said, you look great. And, you know, I figured he's going to say, well, yeah, I died good. I heard he likes to eat on Sundays, Indian food. You know what he said to me? He said, Homer, in his goofy little face that he makes, he said, I have aught against no one. You want all that God is? You better let go of those bad feelings or that person that you don't like, my friend. Let them go. If you want God to work in your midst, let that unforgiveness go, man. That man on the mountain is teaching me and you today. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those that are persecuted for living a right lifestyle. He said, you are a city that is set on a hill. He said, you are that light that's been put on a candlestick and it gives light to the whole world. You are that. You are the salt that preserves life. We can hear that man on the mountain and so fall in love with him, my friend. We can incorporate those beautiful, wonderful sayings from Jesus Christ. When we hear him and we love him so much and we keep him, there's not nothing in the world that you cannot overcome. Because if you hear what he says and you do what he says and you live your life doing what he says, and if you fall short one day, then he's a liar. Guess what? He's not a liar. We cannot not win if we so fall in love with this man on the mountain and his name is Jesus Christ. You cannot lose. You will not lose because he's won. You will overcome this situation right here, not tomorrow, right now in the name of Jesus if you so choose to. You'll never have to live another miserable moment in your life if you so choose to start making a stand tonight. He far exceeds hope. He is the current victory, my friends. We cannot. And we will not lose if we learn to obey that man on the mountain and to so fall in love with him. At the end of the day, he's going to say, you Ashton, you Renee, you are a wise man. You are a wise woman. You heard my sayings and you did them. Your house is built upon the rock. When trials come, when tribulations come, you will stand firm. Why? Because I was your defense. My angels were dispatched around you and I protected you. Because you knew my name. You knew my name. You hid inside of me. I was your refuge. You ran into me. And I'm not a liar, Ashton. I'm not a liar, Mackenzie. I can't lie to you. If I said you would come forward and win, then you're going to come forward and win. If you incorporate, hear his sayings, and so fall so in love with him, you will always win. Come with me on this journey, my friends. Come with me on this journey. The man on the mountain. I picture that sermon. I picture him. I put myself at the foot of the mountain as he's ministering to maybe 5, 6, 7,000 people. I picture him. I don't know why. This is just my personal picture. I picture him with the long hair. I don't know if that's true or not. I picture him dressed in white and purity. And I picture thousands of people hearing him on this mountain. But he's capable of looking at each one person eyeball to eyeball. So all 7,000 of us there can actually see him looking at each one of us. And I picture him instructing me personally, Homer, blessed are the humble. I picture him giving me the perfect remedy on what it's going to take to be a disciplined follower of Jesus Christ. I picture him teaching me, as a little boy, teaching me, son, teaching you today. He's looking at you eyeball to eyeball, those fiery eyes and that heart full of compassion and love for you. He knows what state you're in, man. He knows what you did wrong yesterday. He knows what you did wrong today, but he's still on that mountain teaching you today. Son, you're going to come out of this. If you hear me, incorporate what you hear, you'll be that wise builder. He's not mad at you. He's looking at you with love and saying, Renee, blessed are you if you're meek. Blessed are you if you're pure in heart. Blessed are you if you hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are you if you are a peacemaker. Renee, you are the city set on a hill. Renee, you are that salt on the earth. Renee, enter in through the narrow gate. Renee, seek ye first my kingdom and my righteousness, and all things shall be given unto you. He's not mad at you. The man on the mountain is not mad at you. His blood runs freely. His healing power is alive, not just physically, but he wants to touch your emotions. That's where I won the battle with this, my emotions. I won the battle in my mind that I was not going to die. I want it here. If he can get you thinking you're going to die, you're going to die. I want it here. Through what? Through intimacy. Telling him simple words like that song says. So I want you to just stay right there and bow your heads with me for a little bit. Ponder your life, ponder your situation, and just offer him praise right there where you're at. Jesus. No he prepared a table just for you, my friend. A table just for you with all that you need right here, right now, currently, presently. He's prepared a table just for you, a feast just for you. For you, just for you, if you choose to dine with the Master. He wants to cuddle you and caress you. He wants to lean you, for you to lean up on his bosom and just let him just tell you how wonderful and fabulous and how head over heels in love he is with you, my friend. Oh, he isn't mad. What seems unconquerable has already been conquered in the spirit by the man on the mountain. So I'm asking you tonight. This might be for several. I don't think it is, or it might be. But I know there's some people in here that are that. You live in a place where there's no hope. Where you feel you've tried everything. So Spirit of God, Jesus, Father. I speak your word over your people. Jesus. 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 If that's you here today, here tonight, I'm asking you right now to get up out of your seat and come stand right here. Let me please get my hands on you tonight. I beg you. I promise you. If you incorporate what I taught you tonight through the Holy Spirit, I promise you there will be a change even tonight in your circumstance. Just get up out of your seat and come stand right up here and let me pray for you tonight. Jesus, I worship you. Jesus, blessed be the name of the Lord. I don't care what you're going through, friend. Humble yourself tonight. Let me put my hands on you tonight, please. Jesus.